Our ethicist, Randy Cohen, joins us now. He's the author of The Good, the Bad, and the Difference, and he joins us every other Sunday to tackle questions from you, our listeners. Randy, good to talk to you again.
Hi, Steve.
And I want to begin with a question about a war zone, or not really a question. I just want to tell you a little bit of experience that I had, I suppose, and see what you have to say about it. I mean, I was just recently in Iraq, so I had all these opportunities to loot.
Well, the Times ethics code would prevent me in your position from looting because a journalist is not allowed to participate in a story that he or she is covering. Well, so that would rule me right there. I'd have to buy my own office furniture.
All right, let's get right down to a listener letter and bear in mind that this has been edited for length. Mary Pat McCarthy is a production manager at an advertising agency, and she writes, and her letter really says this, insert snarky remark about ethics and advertising here.
I do have a snarky remark about ethics and advertising if we have time to
go,
stick
go,
it in.
Go ahead. Snark away.
Well, all advertising is a bunch of lies, isn't it? I mean, if only by omission, that it's advocacy work. It doesn't seek to tell the fullest, truest, most nuanced story about a product, but at best, you know, to present what makes it attractive and omit any mention of what makes it burst into flames or cause your skin to break out in those horrible blisters.
How would I know what car to buy if it were not for the ads telling me which ones could take me over the mountain roads in the most dramatic and beautiful fashion possible?
I assume here in modern America, you just buy the biggest, most fuel inefficient, most hazardous to other people car.
Problem solved. Okay, let's go back to Mary Pat McCarthy if we can. She writes that her agency was hired to design a brochure for an assisted living facility. One photo we selected shows an African-American woman caring for an older white woman. This is in the advertising brochure. The client told us to remove the photo because their customers did not want their parents cared for by black people. We were shocked, she writes, and had some serious discussions around the office. We ended up changing the photo to a cheerful young white woman caring for an older white lady and then telling our client we would no longer work with them. The client was incensed at being called prejudiced and said that they couldn't pick their customers at the nursing home. Business is business, and they would speak ill of us to anyone who asked. So we were all embarrassed, and we lost a client. Did we do the right thing? That's what she writes. Randy?
Well, they certainly didn't do the ideal thing. As an ethical matter, they developed a brochure that catered to racism. And in doing that, they deceived potential customers. And as a practical matter, well, they lost a client and sparked a feud. And what's even worse, I'd say, is they violated their own principles, that if they objected to this request, and clearly they did, the time to decline it was before doing it, not after. And incidentally, that's for looting, too, and murder, same thing. if you think it's wrong, the time to stop is before you do the bad thing. I don't mean to be too harsh with Mary Pat and her colleagues, that I'm genuinely impressed that they saw the moral dimensions to this and they wrestled with them, but less than an ideal response.
And we have Mary Pat McCarthy on the line now. Hi, Mary.
Hello.
I am kind of curious. How come you went ahead and designed the brochure and then told them they were a bunch of racists?
Well, we were way down the line on the project. We'd already done all the writing, done all the layout, and it was kind of hard to walk away from a project. They wouldn't have paid us for anything. And as my boss was saying, if the guy had said to change the photo because the bedspread clashed with the wallpaper, we would have changed it without thinking. And also he had the point that the client had no way to pick his clientele, and if they were bigots, he was going to cater to bigots. It was our job to serve our client, which was the manager. None of us were happy about it, but we didn't know how to get out of it in any kind of delicate fashion.
Well, as I understand the Constitution, and I should say I'm not an attorney, but there's nothing in there that requires an ad agency to serve a client. That if they were advertising, if it was murder for hire, if the Corleones had come to you and said, well, "We'd like you to," we've decided we're going to advertise, you would presumably turn them down. That your boss's rationale that, well, that's what the client wants. Well, yeah, that's why you don't take the Klan as a client. That the nursing home has to cater to the patient. Maybe, but that's their moral problem, not yours. You don't have to collude with them to both.
That's what I ended up feeling, that we had colluded, that we had a chance to stop something and that we had not been able to really halt it. And that because we just carried through with it, that we ended up contributing.
Mary Pat, did the agency get paid in the end for this redoing the brochure with a white caregiver?
Just swapping out the one photo. Yes, they did pay us, but it took a long time and there were bad feelings all around.
I should say also, in not exactly your defense, but at least to give it a slightly broader context, that the only thing that seems unusual about this situation is that your client was frank about his motives, that ads routinely cater to prejudice. That's why models are mostly white, young, attractive, athletic. And I can't prove this in a photograph, but most of them seem to be heterosexual Protestants. So it seems a little unfair for me to pounce on you for at least recognizing something that I would say nearly every ad agency does.
I would like to make the point that sometimes the opposite side of the coin is pretty entertaining. When we have to do a photo shoot, we do try to include great diversity, but sometimes you end up trying to find a kid who could be Spanish and African American and slap some glasses on him, and now you've covered three different groups all at once.
Are you saying the glasses? This is a Jewish thing, right? Are you doing a Jewish thing here? I think I see what you're saying.
Mildly handicapped.
Because mine are myopic people. I grant you that.
Mary Pat McCarthy, thanks very much for taking the time. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
If you have a question of an ethical nature, write us. Our email address is watc@npr.org. And be sure to include the word ethics in the subject line. Your dilemma might be pondered on the air by Randy Cohen, who is the author of The Good, the Bad, and the Difference. He joins us every other week in our New York studios. Randy, thanks as always.
Always a pleasure.